Hello, my name is Arun Narukati, and I'm a third-year board member of Health360 based in Connecticut.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. And I'm also a currently serving AmeriCorps member. Joining me today is Arun Narukati, who was previously a serving member of AmeriCorps with the Health Forward Tract and is now serving as a member on the Health360 board. Arun, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely excited. We had a little bit of an email tag back and forth where we had to reschedule a couple times for various reasons. But I'm very happy that we were able to make it work and that we are here chatting today. So your experience is a little bit different than anyone I've had on so far. You're my first service member to board member.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of questions I want to ask, but before we get too far into things, I want to take a step back and give you a chance to introduce yourself a bit more thoroughly. So if you would please just tell me a little bit more about yourself. It can be work-related, service-related, hobbies, personal, just whatever you're willing to share with strangers on the internet.
Yeah. So I graduated from undergrad from UConn back during the onset of COVID. So that was a lot. And then I transitioned. I always knew that I was going to take a gap year while applying for health profession school. So I wanted to continue with that service aspect that I did back in undergrad. So I knew I wanted to do AmeriCorps. So I decided to do AmeriCorps here in my home state of Connecticut, through the Health Forward program. I was stationed at the program office at UConn Health Center. I served from 2020 to 2021. Afterwards, I matriculated into the Frank H. Netter Quinnipiac MD School of Medicine, where I'm currently about to enter my third year of clerkships. And then, like I introduced myself, I am a current junior board member at Health360.
So you mentioned that you knew that you wanted to serve with AmeriCorps, and I like to ask folks how they, came into service or even knew that it was like an option. I, for one, was just wholly ignorant of AmeriCorps, and it wasn't until the school I work at brought it to me as an option to do more with them and supplement, my income. So for you, what was your first exposure to AmeriCorps? What was it about the program that like drew you in?
Yeah, so since my freshman year at UConn, University of Connecticut, where I went to undergrad, they have a great community service program. So I was fortunate to be involved from an early start in their community outreach department. I transitioned from a volunteer at the food pantries and the local health fair events to becoming a program director of one of the nonprofits organizing volunteers. So service is something that was something that I looked forward to each week when I was in college, and kind of transitioning into that kind of servant leadership position was something that was important. And I wanted to continue that as I was considering while I was applying into medical school. So I, because of the community outreach, they always have these health events because, once you get into junior or senior year, you have to kind of figure out what you're going to do next. So AmeriCorps is kind of a stepping stone. And I imagine it is for a lot of people in terms of bridging that classroom-based learning into that experiential learning, being in the real world, essentially. So AmeriCorps servant leadership, I think, is like the term that I always go back to. And for me, that means kind of how do you build yourself as a leader while the prime focus is helping your community. And I think service means a lot of different things to a lot of people. And I think in general terms, think it's just improving your community. It has to be community based, and it's meeting their needs, which are self defined. So whether that's health needs in terms of health disparities or financial socioeconomic needs, and then that leadership aspect. So service isn't supposed to be selfish, but there's some aspect because you're doing it, like you're giving your time, that as a volunteer, you also want to be considering how this service is impacting you as well. So that aspect of kind of what am I learning from serving the community? What am I learning in terms of the skills that I'm required to employ or to train myself with? So I guess it's a long-winded answer that that's why I wanted to do AmeriCorps. I wanted a stepping stone into health profession school. I wanted to continue that aspect of servant leadership. And in particular, in an area that kind of exposed me to the health professions. So at the program office at UConn Health Center, that was a wonderful opportunity, which I can talk a little bit about.
We don't focus a lot, but there is a selflessness that is a part of service. But with AmeriCorps, and you know, I'm sure with other programs as well, there is a benefit to those of us who are serving. You know, I'm a bit of an outlier as I came into the service older. I self-describe as an old man. So, you know, like the majority of folks coming into service like this are generally younger, like college age, maybe in a gap year between their graduation and starting like a master's program or whatever. You know, but there is a benefit, not just the stipend, because, you know, we do get a stipend for our service. But if you hit the requirements, you get this education award, which can be substantial for those with student loans or, you know, who are wanting that to be able to put against tuition costs up front. But really, the experiences are valuable as well. The opportunities to meet and network with people who may not have otherwise been able to meet with. We get to learn things about ourselves. You know, I just recently interviewed someone that their time with AmeriCorps changed their career trajectory. They thought they knew what they were going to do. And then through the service, they realized, you know what, I think I want to do something else. And so now they're looking at going into a master's program based more about like what they were doing as part of their service. And I just really like the idea that we get so much from this, just like personal development and understanding of who we are, learning and growth, and, you know, what we want from life. So it's not about being selfish, but I do like to at least acknowledge that we do get something from this. I also want to touch on what you said about servant leadership. You know, I've worked in corporate cultures before where they would sometimes say that they wanted to promote servant leadership, but they rarely ever actually did. I do really love that concept, and I feel that it is one of the best ways for like upper management to try to build a culture and lead an organization. So, you know, it really just warms my heart to hear you say that, especially because I feel like someone who served with AmeriCorps has maybe a truer understanding of what that means and might actually be able to implement it in their culture. So just thank you for that. All right, but back to you, because that's what we're here to talk about, is you, not me. We already touched on Health Forward a little bit in some other interviews, but just to kind of refresh my memory, what is the Health Forward track? What sorts of things were you doing in that service role?
Yeah, so Health 360 is an umbrella organization. So it tackles both mental health and the health career, health profession pipeline. So a lot of your listeners are probably familiar with the Healthy Minds Alliance program, which runs across the U.S., but originally Health 360 was based, I believe, in Waterbury, but we've been in Connecticut. So in Connecticut, Health 360 specifically runs a Health Forward program. So the mission of Health Forward is to, in general, support the health profession pipeline program to ensure kind of the future generation of diverse and culturally competent health providers. So that means in terms of any pipeline, you know, we're targeting people who are, you know, in middle school, high school, who are not even thinking about STEM, who might not have exposure to STEM. And then we're transitioning into health profession students. So people like nurses, APRNs, doctors, pharmacists, social workers who are in health profession school, but in terms of meeting the future needs of the country, we need more primary care providers. We need more mental health providers. So how do we kind of tailor their education through all these learning and educational opportunities to kind of guide them towards that path and, you know, expose them. So that's a background. So I was at the program office at UConn Health Center. So in terms of the health profession exposure, so I can start with the health profession students. At UConn, they have their medical school. And then there's also programs at the undergrad level, namely social work and pharmacy. And we also partnered with the Quinnipiac Physician Assistant Program. So I was involved as a AmeriCorps member supporting the urban service track, which is in general, it is a co-educational experience where health profession students from the before mentioned fields can gain a experience that promotes kind of exposure to primary care. So a lot of that is through volunteer opportunities in the community. In the past, they've done migrant farm worker clinics, they've done local health fairs, they've partnered with community health centers. And it's been amazing in terms of kind of continuing that engagement with volunteers. So like back in UConn, I worked with undergrads, grad students. It's a bit of a challenge because, you know, they're pretty much busy studying, which I'm very familiar with. Probably dealing with sleep and kind of stress as well. But I think the aspect of, you know, in the first 2 years or the first year, a lot of these programs, you're in the classroom and it's kind of limiting in terms of, yes, you might have clinic on a couple of days of the week or once every other week, but being in the community, even though it's not, you know, clinical interviewing or physical exam skills, I think having that volunteer experience, you're engaged with the community, you're kind of learning about kind of the social determinants of health through, you know, these food drives, these health fairs, working with underserved populations like veterans or migrant farm workers. And the other aspect, so that's a health profession students. The other aspect, like I mentioned before, is kind of targeting or focusing our efforts on building that zeal for STEM at an early age, so high school students. So the program office, we offered several programs to high school students, especially students who might not have that exposure in STEM. One of the key programs that I was involved in were these biomedical engineering days. We had a bunch of different events, and can talk a little bit more about kind of how we adapted virtually, because this was during onset of COVID, 2020. So we helped foster these events where, again, we kind of matched these health profession students in all these fields who have that basic science background to place them in a teaching and kind of mentorship capacity to expose these high school students and kind of foster these events where they can do hands-on experiments. They kind of learn from someone who's in the field firsthand.
Like there's quite a few things that you brought up that I kind of want to touch on, but I also don't want to get too far into the weeds on some things. But I guess I do want to ask you though about that transitioning to like virtual presentation due to like pandemic and COVID. So can you just talk a little bit about that and what that was like?
Yeah. So I think anyone who's run a Zoom event can understand the stress of kind of putting 100 plus people into different breakout rooms. Which is I've messed up a couple of times and it was very, very stressful. But in reality, I think it was a very big learning curve, and I think it was a good learning experience in terms of adapting the same curriculum and the same educational opportunities in a virtual format.
Yeah, so like for me again, I've been doing the youth mental health first aid trainings as part of my service, and many of those have been held virtually through Zoom, and that's with like 15 people, and I keep messing up the breakout rooms. It's just like every time it seems like I forget how to do it, and so I'm constantly like, sorry. I cannot even imagine having 100 people on a single call and trying to manage all that. I mean, the anxiety, well, at least my anxiety would be through the roof. So before we transition to you talking about your Health 360 board membership, I do want to give you a chance to kind of talk about any particular moments, experiences, something from your Health Forward track that just stood out to you as something memorable or just, you know, super cool, something you would just like to share with us?
Yeah, I guess to continue the aspect of kind of the impact of COVID, this is just a small thing, but in terms of, you know, adapting to kind of virtual service here, or like maybe like a 70% virtual experience, there were a lot of, you know, traditional programming that we couldn't do logistically. So as a service member, you know, that was a little bit kind of disappointing in terms of there was some limitations on what I could do. But I think with COVID, you know, I hate how it's a cliche in terms of the silver lining or when you were describing a pandemic, but I think there's, you know, opportunities or perhaps better said, needs, new needs that pop up in the community. So during COVID, we had early on, there was a shortage of testing services. So the community health center system really kind of filled that need here in Connecticut. So I was able to kind of serve as a volunteer at these testing sites. You can imagine, you know, early on, everyone, you know, a lot of people are in need of testing to make sure they can go to work, school, you know, sequester from their family. So these would be, you know, lines of cars outside of our local football stadium where the Huskies play, Rentschler Field. And kind of how do you organize those logistics? You know, the community health centers are amazing. They have people who are in the field who know how to set up these fields, you know, clinics. In terms of testing sites, you know, you're not just serving, you know, a handful of clients a day. You're serving, you know, 100 plus, 200 plus cars of, you know, maybe one people, three, four people in a car. So as a volunteer, I was fortunate to kind of meet that need, to feel that, you know, I was doing something outside of the virtual sphere, even though that's important, the educational aspect. I think being hands-on, I think, was really valuable. And then another opportunity, also with the community health center organization, especially in here in Middletown, Connecticut, I was able to serve as a volunteer in their underserved communities office. So that was great. They specialized in working with the HIV AIDS population and doing outreach, counseling. So I was able to serve as a general volunteer, kind of recruit people to help out during health fairs, which is amazing. I think that primary care aspect, especially towards, you know, population who might not be able to get routine healthcare or might be disenfranchised with the healthcare system. I think these health fair events are great opportunities to kind of re-engage folks who are, you know, have had that experience. And partnering with licensed providers as a volunteer, as a health profession student, you can gain that clinical experience while these health providers provide the standard of care.
Wow, I can't even imagine trying to set something like that up. I mean, I had to go through those lines a couple of times myself for my work and my kids for school and different things that you had to, you know, get tested before you were allowed to do certain things. So again, I can't even imagine trying to manage all that. So just let me say thank you. Thank you for doing your part on those. All right, so let's now transition to talk about your board membership. Let's start with, like, what was the process like going from a service member in Health Forward to joining the board? Like, how did you go from A to B on that? And if you don't mind, you know, share a little bit about what a board member does. You know, I've watched TV and movies where there's people on boards, but it's usually, I'm sure, dramatized and not all that accurate. So, like, what is it actually like day to day, or maybe like meeting to meeting as a board member?
Yeah. Kind of the reason why I wanted to join the board was, again, you know, continue that partnership with my AmeriCorps program in a general sense, to kind of continue the aspect of servant leadership in a more higher level approach, because I've been exposed to a lot of mentors, you know, MDs and DOs who have been involved as boards, whether it's the school system as kind of the chief health officer or local shelters as a chief medical officer. So kind of having this as a stepping stone to possibly doing that community outreach through the local community provider. I wanted that experience. That being said, it was a lot. It was a big learning curve, and it still is, going from a volunteer to a volunteer coordinator to a health profession student, while also kind of, how do you learn to contribute to an organization making these high level decisions? And it really is very high level. So, in contrast to what you see in the movies, like these, the C-suite or kind of these large companies, you're making high level decisions and it's impacting not consumers or investors, but it's impacting whole communities. So you kind of have to gear similarly, I guess you kind of have to gear these high level decisions considering, who you're impacting. And that ranges from directly our service members, our HMA and Health Forward AmeriCorps members, to our host sites, to the partnerships we have, like the 988 number, or our local affiliates who sign up for mental health first aid trainings. I think the big challenge was kind of, how do I contribute and how do I provide my perspective as kind of, someone who is just starting out, in the health field, who has, this experience back in, college in my gap year. But we're looking at, high level decisions that's going to impact, hosts, like 50 plus host sites or so across the nation. So it's not really kind of, I guess the best way to phrase it is the executive director, makes the decisions. How do we provide our wealth as a wealth of diverse experiences to kind of help the executive director steer the ship, to align it toward that path that aligns with our mission and our values? So I know that's a very broad, but essentially that's what it is. Kind of, how do you provide your experience and how do you kind of make sure that we're on track with what we set out to do?
Yeah, I don't want to get too far into the weeds, plus I'm not really sure even how much you're allowed to share about some of the specifics of the things you're working on, but I am curious about like tenure. When you're on a board, is it for a set term? Is it just you're there until you want to leave? Like, how often does the membership of the board change?
Yeah. So when we sign up and agree to a board membership, because continuity is such an important thing, and we want to kind of maintain a good cadre of, experienced members, each board member agrees to a 3-year service term, which you can renew up to, I think, 2 or 3 times, and then you can take a hiatus and then return. I think Health 360, when it started, it had 3 or 4 board members that served for 10 plus years. And I joined 3 years ago, back in 2021. And I think since then, it's been great. We've had a lot of growth. I've been able to learn from my fellow board members, and kind of, it's a commitment. There's extra time. There's also, you got to read into a lot of these reports and kind of figure out, what matters in terms of our mission and values, what is a challenge to kind of meeting those needs. And in my background, in my experiences, what can I contribute to that? But besides that, I think, the opening is for everyone. There's no limitation on your background. As long as you can do a 3-year service term, you're willing to contribute to subcommittees and engage in board meetings, I think we're looking for, a wide wealth of people to join the board.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of the job is like data acquisition and analysis. You are, you're tasked with making decisions that are going to affect a lot of people, and not just in the organization, but the communities they serve. That's a whole lot of people that are affected. So having good information and trying to get out from it what you can so that you make the best decisions possible, I'm sure is a big part of what you do. And maybe your, I'll say anxiety, but like what it is about that you're trying to get across. I'm not sure how much time it takes to do board membership. Like I'm assuming it's not something you can just kind of do. you know, there's time commitments and even an emotional investment in that work. You know, we aren't in a perfect world. If we were in a perfect world, we would just wave our magic wand and solve all of our problems. But, you know, we can only make the best choices we have out of the options in front of you. So that's just a long-winded me of way of saying that I want to commend you for doing this, but I'm not sure I envy you for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think with any decision and in any situation, you're going to satisfy some people, but then some people are not going to see that benefit. I think weighing kind of the cost benefit analysis, you know, I do that as a medical student, kind of, you know, in the health field, kind of that cost benefit analysis. But in terms of these high level decisions, it's something that I'm not used to. I'm still kind of, what is the impact? What is a forecasted impact? And, you know, it's being confident enough to ask those questions and kind of knowing, you know, a lot of the background, which is very technical, from the financial summary to kind of the numbers report, kind of, you know, our current partnerships with corporations and different service providers. It's a lot that, you know, coming in, I was, you know, way out of my league, and I think I still am very much, you know, learning every day, every board meeting. It's kind of a really good experience, kind of, you know, getting that high level approach.
So one thing I like to give people the opportunity to do here is to like shout out colleagues or peers or mentors, you know, really anyone within your service time or now that you're on the board, just someone who's been influential or supportive. Just really, is there just anyone you'd like to sort of say like a public thank you to or just recognize in some way?
Yeah, I think he's retired now. But I'd like to shout out Dr. Bruce Gould, who was the program director at the Urban Service Track and the co-dean of the primary care department at UConn Health Center. He is a, you know, I think many more people can attest to his commitment and background as a internist to someone who for, you know, decades has served the local Connecticut community. Through his multiple board positions, towards his educational, his teaching experiences. And, you know, I think he helped reassure me, especially that, you know, my choice to go into medical school was, you know, right for me, to feel confident with that choice and to feel that my experiences make me someone who, you know, is ready for this experience, who understands, you know, why I'm doing this and kind of imagining the people that I'm going to serve. So again, I think he's retired, which is good because he was working for decades, even half portion of his time commitment at UConn.
Now kind of my last question, which is sort of a catch-all, you know, we knew we would be talking today, and I hope that you were thinking about things to say and maybe trying to come up with examples and situations that you would hope you get a chance to talk about. So if there was something that you were hoping that would come up, but I never asked you a good question to bring that out, just pretend that I just now asked you that question and then just share with us whatever it is you were wanting to share with us.
Yeah. So I think in general, I guess I can talk a little bit about, you know, what is Health 360. So in one sentence, mission of Health 360 is, and as an organization whose mission is to support healthy communities. And what is health? That comprises mental health, which I think everyone understands is a burgeoning need these days. So Health 360 does have a two-pronged mission in terms of supporting that mental health infrastructure in our communities, as well as supporting the health profession pipeline. So the next generation of health providers to kind of meet that mental health need and also that primary care need in terms of addressing the health disparities in our country. And those two things, I think how we accomplish those is through, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is through educational opportunities. So from Our service members engage in a wide wealth of educational opportunities and community service events, which I'm sure you can go into. And from my experience, I've been lucky to engage on that aspect in my local community that I was born in and I was raised in. Like you said, this podcast has its purpose kind of reaching out for its potential interested members, potential AmeriCorps members. I hope that I did some justice in terms of my board member experience, but part of our strategy going forward is to recruit a board that is comprised of diverse individuals and professionals from many different fields, whether it's public policy, education, the health services sector, medicine. As long as you have that commitment towards building healthier communities, please, please do reach out, potentially serve as a board member.
As we bring this week's episode to a close, I just want to once again say thank you to Arun for joining me today and sharing about his experience both on the Health Forward track and on serving on the board for Health 360. If you have enjoyed listening, I hope you have enjoyed listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week when we have another amazing guest on to chat with. As a reminder, if you are interested in becoming a service member or have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization would like to become a host site, you will find information and links to follow in our show notes.